That with me and stand. We'll read our text, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and typically we'll be in the book of Acts, but we're in Ecclesiastes tonight. I look forward to what God has for us. Okay. Let's take a look at verse number 1. We'll read verse 1 and we'll read all the way through verse number 4. Our text this evening is 2 through 4. The Bible says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." Father, I pray one more time your blessings. We need you today. We need you tonight. So I pray you'd speak to our hearts. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I mentioned this morning that we were privileged to go hiking in the canyon a few days ago. And it was, you know, it was a good time and it was a blessing. And on the way to the canyon, we left on Thursday. Two of the boys and I took the van and we had our camping gear because the difference between a hotel room and camping out was like $500. And we would like to save that. So we'll just spend $9 and camp out. And we like doing that anyway. So we took the camping gear and a couple of the boys and I, we set up the camping gear and had everything ready to go. And, you know, all was well. We went to sleep that night. And in the night, this true story, by the way, all this is true, I'm about to tell you. Okay. In the middle of the night, I'm dreaming about a cricket that's chirping. And it's literally making me go out of my mind. But I'm asleep, all the way asleep. So then I wake up and I think, oh, good. That was just a dream. But then the cricket started chirping in real life. Like, so I was dreaming about it, and it was happening in real life. And it was 3 a.m. I looked at my clock. So I was just laying there for a long time, just listening to this annoying sound of the chirping of this cricket. So then I started to daydream about finding this cricket. All true. And if I find it or found it, I would rip both of its legs off. Amen. And just leave it. Hopefully it would suffer. Then it moved to, I'll just hit it with a hammer. If I can find this cricket, I'll hit it with a hammer. Amen. All of these thoughts, legitimate, absolutely true. The very next thought, absolutely true. I don't know why I thought this, but I thought, you know, if I can't find it, I would just shoot it with a machine gun. Now, I didn't have a machine gun, and I'm pretty sure it would wake everybody in the campgrounds up, but that's where my mind went. I would shoot this thing with the... It got so bad that I started to pray. That's how bad it was. You know it's bad when you need to pray about it, right? And I started to say, please, Lord, please, I just need to go to sleep. Make it stop. And then about 10 minutes later, it stopped. And I rejoiced. I still wanted it to die. But it was so relieving. And I wished then I would have started off with the prayer. Now, that, when it was happening, wasn't funny. Okay, it's funny now. But when it was happening, it wasn't funny. And here's the point. Here's why I told you that. Because humor is good. Humor isn't a bad thing. It's good to laugh. It's good to be encouraged. And humor can be encouraging. It can be uplifting and unifying. It's a positive thing. It's a good part of you know, our existence and what God wants us to have in our life. But Solomon indicates here that sorrow is better. He says sorrow is better than laughter. Now, what we need to know is why he said that. How is sorrow better than laughter? And that's what we're going to study. Look at verse 2. He says, it is better to go in the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. So to start off here, he speaks of the house of mourning. This is a reference to funerals. The house of mourning would be when you attend a funeral service because somebody has just passed away. The house of feasting would be the reference to a party. So Solomon is indicating that funerals are better than parties. That's what he's saying. Now, we might wonder, why would he say that? Because we like to go to parties. You know, they're fun, they have activities, there's laughter, there's, you know, Smokies, you know, what are those called? Pigs in a blanket? That's not a party if you don't have those, and nachos. So, you know, we go to these things and it's fun and we look forward to parties and we look forward to the event of it and the laughter and the fun of it. However, funerals, Solomon indicates in verse number 2, look what he says, the house of mourning than the house of feasting, because for that is the end of all men. So he says the funerals are the end of all men, meaning there's nobody in this room tonight, you're not going to have a funeral. Unless Christ was to come and take us out of here, you're going to have a funeral someday. And when we attend a funeral, here's what Solomon is indicating, that it causes us to be reminded of the fact that we have a limited time while we're on this earth. We don't have all eternity in this life. Our time on this earth is limited. And so it helps our hearts to get focused back on the things that really matter. That's what he's indicating. For example, your walk with God matters more than the folly of fun. Your walk with God, that matters. Discipline in your walk with God. Let me say it that way, because we got to throw the word discipline in there. Because it's not always a fun activity to have a strong walk with God. Sometimes you're tired and you have to get up earlier and you don't feel like doing that. Or getting on your knees requires discipline. Why? Because if you're like me, as soon as you go to your knees, you think about 8,000 different things you need to do. And it causes you to just sort of streamline through your prayer time, get to the end of it so you can get along with the day. But we need discipline in our walk with God. We need a purpose that we're going to pray and we're going to read the word and receive from God what we need to become strong so that we might grow in our faith. Our love for God is an important matter of focus in our life. Our love for Him, the glory of God. That we would, in our life, bring glory to Him in the things that we do, in the things we don't do. In fact, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 10. He says, whether therefore ye eat, drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So referencing our religious work, our activity, our life, that we would do it for His glory. Now look at verse number 3. He goes on with this. He says, sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. So he's building on the idea of how funerals bring a person's heart back to the things that really matter. And here showing us that sorrow, in a way, it works in the same way. He says, by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. So in the first part of that verse, he says sorrow. The word sorrow means, or was to say, anger or grief. But it's not the kind of anger because your favorite team lost or because somebody ate your food. I remember And when you have a bunch of boys in your house, I talk about this, but it's true. It happens. I remember I preached a sermon at college, the college we talked about tonight. By the way, great job on Oklahoma. I didn't know any of that stuff, and I'm from Oklahoma, you know, so how embarrassing is that? Anyway, so I'm preaching at that college to all of these college students, and I opened my sermon. I said, raise your hand if anybody's eaten food, your food out of the fridge. Everybody in the whole auditorium raised their hand. Like, somebody ate my food out of the fridge. Mm-hmm. And then I said this, raise your hand if you're the one who ate the food. And like three guys proudly rose their hand. I was like, get him, guys, get him. We're not talking about the anger of somebody who ate your food or messed with your things. We're not talking about an anger that's created because they left their clothes on the ground. How frustrating is that, by the way? When you try to keep things cleaned up and the cabinet doors are left open and the drawers are left open and the clothes are on the floor. And that's frustrating. But sorrow here, it's not talking about that kind of anger or grief. What Solomon is referencing here is the sad feelings of conviction. Solomon is speaking to the confrontations that would bring the feelings of conviction. Like when a person is, note this, when a person is confronted in their sins and they experience grief, that's the sorrow he's talking about. Like a parent who does this with their children, you confront them in their foolishness and in their sins. Why? Because you love them. You want them to experience godly sorrow. God does this in our lives, in our soul, through the preaching of the word, doesn't he? In fact, in 2 Timothy, Paul said it this way in chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the preaching of the word is profitable for what? For doctrine, teaching, about the ways and the truths of God, for reproof, correction, and instruction. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the next chapter, here's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, preach the word. Preach the word. It, by the way, that's three words, and you can put the emphasis on all three words. Preach the word. Preach the word, and then preach the word. That's a sermon all by itself. Then he said this. Now, what does that encompass? What is the preaching of the word, you say, Pastor? He goes on. He says, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So the preaching of the word, the delivery of the message, the word of God working in our hearts, it's for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. It's for rebuke, exhortation, long-suffering, and doctrine. God wants to work in us, and he works in us like we talked about this morning through the preaching of the word. We need that kind of preaching. We need this kind of confrontive preaching. Well, how I confrontive preaching, Pastor? I think I drank all my water, did I? Nope, I got a little bit more. I hate doing this to y'all, but I don't know why I've been so thirsty. We need confrontive preaching. What do you mean by that? I mean, we need somebody to tell us when we're wrong. We need somebody to tell us that. We need somebody who will tell us where we need to be sharpened. We need somebody to tell us where we need to change. And do you know who tells us? It's God. From his word, He pierces, like we said this morning, to the dividing asunder. He'll speak to you. He'll convict you. That's the kind of preaching we need. With that in mind, I think we could all agree conviction is better than laughter. Why? Conviction leads somebody to change and grow. Conviction leads someone to wisdom. We need to be convicted. We need somebody to step on our toes. We might not always like it, but we need it. I used to say this years ago. I suppose I'm going to say it here. Pastor, don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. Amen. You know, I didn't come here to get my ears tickled. I came here to hear what God has for me. So you tell me how it is. That's what we need. We need that. Verse number 4, he goes on. He says, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. I mean, that says it right there, doesn't it? The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Meaning, according to Solomon, the wise are those who are challenged to contemplate the future of their actions. Challenged to take your sins seriously. This is a serious matter. And when we're not having the commitment that we should have to our great God, that we're convicted about it, that we're challenged with it, and that we're pressed with it through the work of the Holy Ghost in us, we should experience sorrow over our sins. We should experience sorrow over our sins. The heart of the wise goes to the house of mourning. However, he says in the last part of that verse, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. The word mirth has to do with happy feelings. So he says there's a house of mirth, and it's somebody who only wants to feel happy. That's where the fools live. It's somebody who rejects correction. So in a sermon, sometimes it's pointed, and sometimes there's specific things, and sometimes there's the work of God in your heart, and he's starting to hit that hard heart with the hammer of the word, and he's wanting to break through, and he's trying to speak to you and give you direction in your life. And so there's conviction there, and there's change that God is leading you to. And those that desire to live in the house of mirth are those who reject that kind of correction, those who get offended at reproof or rebuke. They would say something like this, "Pastor, make me laugh, but never make me cry." Solomon indicated that a person's foolish who only wants to have happy feelings. The heart of the foolish lives in the house of mirth. So the passage is not condemning laughter, but when a person only wants laughter. We need to be encouraged. Laughter is a way that God works in us to heal. In a way, God uses laughter to bring encouragement in our life and strength at times, to bring us back to an openness. But more, we need to be challenged and confronted in our sins. We need to be reproved. We need to be rebuked at times, and we need to be corrected. We need God to convict our hearts of our sins. Why? Because that's how we grow. That's how we grow. We get pressed, and God works in us. He wants us to grow. Honest self-reflection, when confronted by the Word of God, leads us to conviction. God leads us to sorrow over our sins. He wants us to have a broken spirit. Psalm 51:17 says this, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, God, thou wilt not despise." So God wants, through His Word, to convict us. He wants to. Why? Because it brings reconciliation between us and God. You know, the peace is there. You know, the most joyful time that you've ever had in your life is the time when you've been broken. I don't even have to debate that. I know it's true. The most miserable season in our lives are the times when we've been so hard. We won't listen to Him. We just want the happy feelings. We don't want to be pressed. Today's society emphasizes pleasure. People are sensitive to the preaching that convicts. Often people want to laugh, but they don't want to cry. We need to embrace preaching about our sins. We need to be a church that learns how to embrace the preaching that confronts. We need to open our hearts to let God speak to us. We need to learn to listen to the convicting and convincing touch of God. We need Him to lead us to the altar. The altar should be full when God's word is being declared and God is speaking to our hearts. And I'm not saying to make us feel bad if you don't go to the altar from time to time, but listen. If God is working and we're letting Him convict us, there ought to be times when at least we would go to the altar and be moved through the conviction of God in us. We have to open our hearts to that. We have to let Him change us. We will then grow. And that's why sorrow is better than laughter. Laughter can heal, but conviction leads you to growth. You'll confront it. When I was in college, I loved convicting preaching. When a guy got up, and I think I told this story before, man, but when a guy got up and he threw his jacket off and he's like, man, we're just gonna, here we go. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, I get on the edge of the seat, like, here we go. And a guy gets preaching. I mean, I remember when I was in college, it was wild. Guys would throw their Bibles up in the air. I mean, really high. I don't know that that's a good idea. But they would be so excited. How can we express how joyful we are? Throw the Bible up, shouting amen. Excited about what God's doing. Preacher, tell us how it is. Tell us what we need to hear. Tell us about our sins so we can get our hearts closer and more right with God so we can grow and become stronger, because that's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. Bring it to me. Step on my toes. Don't hold it back. Give it to me. That's what I need. After sermons in chapel, I mean, we'd get it. We'd go to each other after in class. We'd say, man, he ripped our faces off. And that was the thing in school. It was a good chapel if you got your face ripped off. That's how we felt about it. Sort of like that hot sauce thing I talked about last week. You start sweating. It's obvious you're in pain because you're eating this crazy hot sauce. You're suffering. And then you say this, oh man, this is good. I did that the other day. I had this habanero chicken wings. And it threw me off because it said it had a fruit in there. What was it? Mango. It said mango habanero. I'm like, oh, mango. I like that. Habanero, don't forget about that. So after the fourth chicken wing, I could not feel my lips. And I felt like they were getting big. And I started talking weird. I can't eat these other ones. I had to pass them on to my friend. He said, I'll eat those, yes. Like, he loves it. That's how we need to be with the preaching. We need to like it hot. We need to like it when God steps on our... We need to like it, ooh, man, I got punched in the lips. Give me some more. I love it. That's how we grow. It's the preaching of the Word. It's the Word of God working in us and sharpening us. Sure, we need to laugh. And sure, we need to be encouraged. And sure, we need to be strengthened. And God isn't telling us that those things aren't good. He's saying sorrow is better. Sorrow will help us to grow. So we need to love the preaching and love to hear from God and don't easily become offended. Appreciate the heat. I think through that, what you'll find is everything will start changing. And the joy will be there. I promise you next Sunday, Brother Davidson gets here, the messages are going to be hot. And then all week. And then next Sunday, the following Sunday with Brother Elliot. It's a different kind of heat when he brings it, but it's gonna be there. It's gonna strike right here. You know what we need to say? Pastor, I'm here for it. I'm ready for the preaching. I need it. And that's the spirit we need. It'll make us to grow. And so Solomon says with confidence, and here's what I want us to embrace with confidence. Sorrow is better than laughter. Let's not be offended at the preaching that convicts. Let's embrace conviction. Let's appreciate conviction. and say, you know what? God did that for me. I needed that. I might not have liked it, but I needed it. And so because of that conviction, today for this sermon, I'm going to get right up here. And that's okay. Let's let God do it in us, okay? Father, I thank you for the word.